remember last time we talked about how St. John Bosco, when he was a newly ordained priest, he helped out in the parish for 5 months, and then he was given free a position that he can pick from. But St. Joseph Capasso told him, none of the above, come to the institute to learn more, the pastoral theology. So he went to Turin, to where St. Joseph Capasso was teaching the young priests about pastoral theology. He was in that institute for how many years again? For 3 years, right? And the advantage in Turin was that he was able to see what is the situation of the city is like. He knew the needs of the young people there. He saw them in prison, in the hospital, wandering around. So they need somebody. They did not belong to any parishes. They need somebody. So his dream was to have a center for young people. So the work started on December 8, 1841. What happened on that day again? He was getting ready for Mass, and there was a boy, there was a young boy standing there. And then the sacristan say, "You serve Mass." And he say, "I don't know how to." And the sacristan, what did he do?
He yelled at him.
Beat him up, right?
Close enough.
And then so John Bosco, stopped the sacristan and told him, "Get the boy back here, otherwise I'll report against you." So he got the boy back, and then he talked to the boy. "What is your name?" "Bartholomew." "How old are you?" 16. And then parents both deceased, an orphan. Yeah. Have not received communion yet, because he was too ashamed to go to catechism class. He was 16 years old, but all the other boys, they were young boys. So John Bosco offered, "If I teach you privately, do you like it?" "Yes." And so they start the class immediately. But when John Bosco, after seeing the Hail Mary, realized that Bartholomew cannot make the sign of the cross, the first lesson was on how to make the sign of the cross. And then he invited Bartholomew, "Bring your friends next week." So he brought 6 more. And then the week after, more boys and more boys. And then now they became a oratory. They became a center for boys. But it's not easy. It's a really brave undertaking. So after 3 years there, he accepts a position. There was a wealthy woman. He starts to start some institute for women and for girls. So there was an institute for wayward girls, but another one she was going to start is a hospital for girls. So St. Joseph Capasso advised John Bosco to accept that position to be chaplain for the girls. It seems like completely contrary to his work, want to help the boys. Actually, BC Catholic made a mistake, there's an institute for girls and they changed it into boys. They thought I made a mistake, So, but actually he accepted a position to be a chaplain for a hospital for girls. BC Catholic did make a big change, without me knowing it, So, but it's because of that he got a place. He could gather the boys on Sundays. So there was a piece of land they were able to run about, and also they went to upstairs to the room of John Bosco, and also there is another priest, Father Borrow, who helped you hear confessions. And so the rooms, the hallway, everywhere, the stairway, they were all filled with boys. And boys are boys. They want to put things into order. But what happened was that everything go upside down, Somebody would try to start a fire. Somebody would put out the fire. Somebody would try to, they just all mixed up, The bucket, the basin, the chair, the shoes, the board, the books, everything turned upside down, because everybody want to put them into order. But it's just all chaotic. So he called that place, 3 years after he first met Bartholomew, 3 years later, on the exact day, December 8, in 1844, he called that place Oratory of St. Francis de Sales. Boys are boys. They need to be extremely patient with them. You know that, Kathleen. You know that.
Yes.
You have to be patient. So Saint Francis de Sales is a patron. Is a saint that known for being really gentle and kind. So you know. So he said, our ministry also called for great calmness and kindness. And so we place ourselves under the protection of Saint Francis de Sales, that he may obtain for us the grace of his extraordinary meekness. Now, he also helped the boys financially to buy books and clothes and material things. And, you know, he's helped her father borrow, say to him, you know, you need to do that. You know, you need to really go and ask for money. It was a huge sacrifice for Don Bosco because priests in those days doesn't get used to going around and ask for money. But because of the work he wanted to do for the boy, he did that. Eventually, he would be one of the men who really know how to raise fundraising, you know. Mm-hmm. And also, because of the recommendation of the bishop had been always supporting his work. And so the city granted Don Bosco the permission in July 1845 to use the chapel of the city mills for the purpose of teaching the boy from noon to three. But within a few Sundays, you know, that place, the office, they sent a letter to the city and complained. And so they withdraw their permission for the next year. Before that, another incident happened that the boys were allowed, you know, the priest who looked after the church that close to the cemetery, he allowed John Bosco to bring the boy to be there. But that really offended the housekeeper. The housekeeper, you know, because the boys, they were noisy, and they were so noisy, they were having chicken, and the mother chicken, the hen, was so scared, and the egg got destroyed, and so the housekeeper got really extremely mad, and so she was yelling and screaming to John Bosco and say, you will not be back next week, you know, and so it's just really, really nasty. And then when the parish priest went back home, the housekeeper add oil and say a lot of bad things about the John Bosco and the boys, and you know, say they desecrate the holy ground, you know, lots of things that she add on. And so what happened was that the priest wrote a really strong letter to the city, to the official, to complain against John Bosco. So, but John Bosco almost like he predate, you know. You know, they tell us not to come back next week. They will not be here around next week. So what happened? That poor man, that the last letter the priest wrote, soon after he finished the letter, he got a heart attack. And then he died. And then when after they buried the priest, then the housekeeper got a heart attack and she died within 1 week. So they both died. And also, you know, talking about, you know, they are allowed to use the land, and then the office, you know, of that place complained, the person who wrote the letter after he did that, he also died.
Oh.
So everybody now got scared. They know that, you know, don't mess up with John Bosco. and also people also find that when they help the oratory, oh, they got a lot of blessing from God. You know, so it's also something that people experience. Anyhow, because they withdraw the permission and so John Bosco from that time on, he only used that chapel, as a gathering place. He gathered the boys and then he would brought them to one of the churches to have mass, to explain the gospel. And then in the afternoon, he would teach them catechism and telling stories, singing hymns and songs. And then they would go for a walk, and then until the evening, they would go home. So it's like a wandering oratory. So he thought that arrangement would mean the end of the oratory, but actually their number got increased. They're getting bigger.
How many now?
Around 400. So winter time, because winter is winter, in Italy you do feel it's winter. So it's unlike the Philippines, you know, or Hong Kong. In winter time, it's really winter in Italy. So it's hard to walk around and going outdoor. So he rented three rooms that belonged to a priest to keep the boys. And so even though when he was a seminary, he made the resolution not to make trick and performance again, but because that's the only way he can keep the boys happy. So now he go back to playing magic and trick and performance, and it was really, really fantastic. The boys liked it. So, but also at that time, some parish priests complain. Some parish priests, they complain. They say, you know, this John Bosco, you know, he lead the boys away from their parish, you know. They don't even know the parish priest, you know. They should be coming to our church. Why are they bringing them away? So they want John Bosco to stop what he was doing. And so two priests among the priest and among the pastor, the parish priest, were sent to John Bosco to talk about that particular issue. And so John Bosco explained patiently that nearly all the boys are out of town. They are not from Turin. And so they had come here for work, and they have no parents looking after them. And because they have different dialects, because they were constantly moving from place to place because of work, because of the bad example of their friends who are not going to church, so it's a huge obstacle for them to come to any parish church. And so John Bosco also pointed out that, you know, he attracted the boys through games and outings. If not, without those activities, they would not even come to catechism and not even mention to come to church. So basically, you know, he tells the parish priest, if you can provide a space like that in your parish, no problem, you take them to your parish, you know. But, you know, they know that it's impossible. Nobody will have that time or energy to do something like that in their parish. So after talking among themselves, the parish priest say, okay, keep doing what you are doing until we can find a solution. So they basically encourage him to continue. So John Bosco have a lot of difficulties and opposition from the work that he was doing. The vicar of the city is almost like a mayor. He's also the chief of the police. He demands Don Bosco to close the oratory. And so Don Bosco, of course, would not compromise. And then finally, he was so angry and say, don't you know that it is forbidden to hold meeting without proper authorization? And Don Bosco replied, my meeting has no political insignificance, but only a religious one. I'm only teaching poor boys their catechism with the approval and permission of the archbishop. So basically, the vicar of the city say, okay, if the bishop tell you to stop, I'm going to stop. He say, yes, I am going to. So he say, okay, I will talk to the bishop. So after that, you know, Don Bosco did talk to the bishop first to tell him what's going on. The bishop support the work of John Bosco. So when the vicar of the city talked to the bishop, he would not close the oratory. But also in the same day, John Bosco got into another difficulty, you know, after seeing the mayor. Some people suspect maybe it's the vicar of the city who caused it to happen, but no proof. On the same day, he got a note telling them, you know, you're using our place, you know, the renter, you know, out of the place. You know, the boys were destroying the grass, you know, I give you 15 days, you must be gone. So anyhow, one problem after another. But anyhow, because the bishop would not close the oratory, so the vicar of the city called John Bosco in again and say, I will let you continue, but with this condition. So he say, you know, he want him to limit the number of boys, get rid of the older boys because they are more dangerous, and also no outing as a group, walking around the city. But John Bosco would not compromise a single inch. So the mayor say, you know, I will send police to watch you. So they send police. You know, on Sunday, all the police were there. At first, the children were afraid of the police, but Don Bosco jokingly said, see how important we are, the police are watching over us. And so the boy got used to the police eventually, and they even invited the police to play with them. And then Don Bosco also, you know, the police are really good men, actually, so Don Bosco invited them to help out the boy, so they actually help to maintain order. But Don Bosco has something in mind. When the police get closer to where he was preaching, he teach about hell, damnation, you know. And so the police, they actually kneel with the boy and line up for confession. So one after another, the police went back to the vicar of the city and told him, you know, he had no political agenda, it's only a religious one. And one policeman said, you know, I need my confession, you know. You know, I don't want to go to hell. It's so horrible to be here. You know, he preached really well about hell. And Don Bosco did it on purpose. He wanted to, even he was preaching, he preached more to the police than to the boys. So it turned out it's a really good spiritual experience for the police. So because of that, you know, he didn't oppose John Bosco anymore, and also his health got deteriorated, and then he died eventually too. So it seems that, you know, every enemy of John Bosco didn't pull away. Okay, anyhow. Now, Don Bosco have to help the morale of the oratory. And God revealed in dreams about the future of the oratory. So Don Bosco would tell the young people, you know, there will be a spacious oratory. There will be churches, houses, schools, workshops, thousands of boys, and priests serving the boys. And Don Bosco taught that way because he knew the future event would prove that how accurate his prediction was going to be. And also, when he had those kind of dreams, he also consulted St. Joseph Capasso. And Joseph Capasso said, go ahead, you may be quite safely give special significance to these dreams. I'm convinced they are for God's greater glory and the welfare of souls. So the boys, you know, boys are really good in daydreaming too, right? So they talk about the dreams at home, at work. So after you heard the dreams, it's a rumor started. John Bosco got mad. He's crazy. So, you know, the rumor is really, really bad. So, you know, sometimes the people would come to him and they would say, you know, one time his helper, his close friend and helper, I know, Father Borrow, he, you know, advised John Bosco, you know, reduce the size of the oratory. It's too big, so that the work can continue in the future when you find a proper place. But John Bosco refused. You know, he said that he would gather in the oratory, and so anyhow, I can just read the conversation. You know, John Bosco said, no, in his mercy, the Lord has begun this work, and he must complete it. You know how hard it has been for us, Father, to get many of these boys to give up their evil ways, and how well they have behaved since. I don't see how we can abandon them now to themselves and expose them to the dangers of the world and to their great spiritual harm. And then the priest asked Don Bosco, but where can we gather them? And Don Bosco said, in the oratory. But where is this oratory? For me, it is no problem. I see a church, a building, a playground. It is where I can see it. And then the priest asked, where are all these things? I can't tell you exactly now, but they certainly do exist. I can see them and they will be ours. And then he was really sad. The priest, he walked away and said, poor Don Bosco, truly his mind is gone. So, and later on in the future, Don Bosco would approach his friend and actually told him in secret, and asked him, you know, keep it confidential, that about the dream that he actually got from God, so that to dispel his anxiety about Don Bosco. But you know, at that time, you know, some of the priests they would come to visit, or some people they would come to visit him, and they would ask Don Bosco, you know, some question about his future religious order. And Don Bosco would actually talk about his future religious order, and they would think, oh, he's really crazy. And then sometimes people we saw him on the street and asked him, how do you feel, Father? Very well, thank you. Don't you have a little headache? Not at all. Okay. So they basically, you know, when they saw him, they think that, you know, maybe he's mentally ill. So they also, people listen to Don Bosco, and people think that he is mad. And some people, they listen to John Bosco, and then they talk about him to other superiors and say, you know, he's mad. He's possessed with the idea of possessing things that he does not have and never will. And so they think that, you know, John Bosco have a fixation that will eventually lead him to a complete insanity. Since the illness is still in the early stages, immediate treatment may possibly cure him, and thus avert a total breakdown. So we should take him to a mental hospital. There will be popular regard for his priestly character, and we will receive therapy suggested by Christian charity and medicine. So here we go. They decided they will have two priests who are friends of Don Bosco, and get him to the mental hospital. So the two priests came, and they have hired a carriage, you know, that you can not open from inside, but it can be locked from the outside. So this is the plan. The plan is the two priests will come, and they will invite John Bosco for some fresh air, and then they will get him to the carriage, and then it will draw him to the mental hospital. They arrange with the priest over there. The nurses are all ready, and they will even though they have to confine him, respect his priestly dignity though, but confine him and give him the proper treatment. So that's the plan. So the two priests came. They paid their respect, and then they brought the conversation around the favorite topic of the future oratory. So Don Bosco repeat for their benefit, they have told many other people about his future dream. Many boys, spacious oratory, the churches, the schools. And then they exchange a glance among themselves, and then they say, "Is it really so?" And so what they really meant was, he has gone mad. So, but Don Bosco, you know, unexpected visitor, and they're glancing at each other, and they say, "Is it really so?" Don Bosco already knew something is not quite right. What is coming next? So they told him, "A little fresh air will do you good, dear Don Bosco. Come along with us. We have a carriage waiting for us." So Don Bosco really smart. You know, he knew what they were up to. So they invited Don Bosco, "Please come in, Don Bosco." And then he said, "No, that would be a lack of respect to you. Please get in first." So they believed that Don Bosco came after them, so they both got into the carriage, and then Don Bosco stayed out, closed the door, and told the driver, "Go to the mental hospital, they were waiting for them." So the driver went really quick, and they went to the mental hospital. So all the nurses were ready. So when they opened the carriage, the two priests were yelling at the driver, and then the nurse were talking among themselves. They said only one priest, but now there were two. "Anyhow, we should confine them both. I don't know which one is." So they confined the two of them, and then locked them up in the room, and then they plead, you know, "Can we see the doctor? You know, the doctor is away, you know, it's not in the mental hospital. Can we see the priest? It's the dinner time right now. Let the priest finish dinner first." So, you know, they plead, and finally, when the priest, chaplain, came, he had a good laugh, and then the two poor priests got released. You could imagine that, you know, for a long time, the two priests, you know, couldn't get their way around to really see John Bosco. When they see him at a distance, they just walk away, you know. It's only after a long while they restore their friendship, and one who actually became John Bosco's helper in the future. But, you know, they understood now, either he is not mad, or he was a really completely different kind of madman. You know, as St. Paul said, "The foolish things of the world God has chosen to put to shame the wise." So, anyhow, he was continuing his work, not paying attention to idle tongues, patiently waiting that, you know, the people would be tired of their slander. But, you know, for several Sundays, the other priests who were helping him, one by one, they walked away from him, because they all want to persuade him to reduce the size of the oratory, to listen to their method, but he won't listen. So one after another, they walk away from him. Eventually, he was almost like single-handed, look after 400 plus boys. And so it was heartbroken, but he continued, you know, to keep faith in God. He knew that, you know, in the future, there will be something good coming out. And so, of course, at that time, you know, not everybody abandoned him. The bishop always stood by him. Joseph Capasso continued to give him financial support, and his good friend Father Borrow also helped, but he always keep a distance, watch, want to see how things go. So it was only after when John Bosco confined to him his dreams, then he give full confidence to John Bosco. But as mentioned, the day he met the mayor, he got that note, 15 days, you are gone. So the last Sunday, it was 1846, April 5th, Palm Sunday. It's the last Sunday in the oratory. It was the saddest day in John Bosco's life. One of the saddest days in John Bosco's life. So John Bosco, you know, and on that day, he need to announce by the evening where to go next Sunday. Otherwise, the oratory have a danger of just, you know, finished, no more. So in the morning, he heard the boys' confessions, and then he told the boys, we are going to the monastery for a pilgrimage and have mass there because we have to pray to Our Lady so that our merciful mother may grant us the grace of finding soon another place to hold our oratory. So they knew it was a pilgrimage, so they recite the rosary, they recite the litany of Our Lady, they sang the hymns, and so they did, and also at the church, when they went, you know, the bell of the church rang. And later on, you know, the superior of the monastery will say that he didn't know anybody who rang the bell on that day. It seems like maybe the bell just rang on their own to welcome John Bosco. So they went to church, some of them received communion, and then the father guardian of the monastery, you know, prepared breakfast for them. They gave them a little talk. But John Bosco, he was looking for a new place, but nobody would take him. You know, rumor was that he was crazy. And then because of the public opinion against him so much, nobody would give him a decent place. And so in the afternoon, the boys were playing, but Don Bosco was not himself. You know, usually he joined in the game, he was playing with the boys, but he was in the corner. You know, he was sad, distressed, eyes with tears. And then he was going back and forth, he was praying. And then when some of the boys saw him so sad, they tried to come to him, to keep him company. But he said to them, no, go play, boys. I need to be alone. So the older boys knew that, you know, what bothering him, what happened. And so once again, he asked the owner, you know, can they really change their minds? But they insist, no, they will not give him the place. So it seems to impossible, you know. So at that time, he kept thinking over and over. All my helpers have turned away from me and left me alone with all these boys to look after. I'm exhausted, my health is broken, and worst of all, I have 2 hours to get out of this meadow. I must find some other place to assemble these boys. I must tell them where to meet next Sunday. Yet despite all my efforts, I cannot find a place, and as of tonight, the oratory will be no more. Have all my past efforts been in vain? Will all this work come to nothing? Must I dismiss and say goodbye to all these boys who are so fond of me? Must I abandon them to themselves once more and see them go back to roaming the street, slipping into bad habits, heading for prison, losing their souls and bodies? This cannot be the will of God. So with all this thought, he was more and more intense in his anguish. Couldn't take it anymore. He broke down and wept. And so, at that time, some of the boys heard him saying a prayer to God, asking God, oh my God, oh my God, why don't you show me where I can gather these boys? Please let me know or tell me what to do. So, it was a prayer because of suffering, but also of hope. And God immediately answered his prayer. After he finished that prayer, somebody ran to Don Bosco. And then he said, it is true you are trying to find a place for a workshop? And Don Bosco said, not a workshop, but an oratory. And the man said, I can't tell the difference, but I know a place that might do, come and see. So he said, you know, the owner is an honest man and willing to rent it to you. Come with me and you will have a deal. So at that time, Don Bosco was almost like a light amid the dark clouds. And also, at the right moment, a priest who was a friend of John Bosco came to visit him.
So Don Bosco said, you come at the right time, I have to go, you look after the boys. So he went. So he went to the place. The place was not ideal, you know, it was a pretty old place. You know, it's not quite nice. He almost wanted to refuse the order, the deal. But the owner agreed, you know, I can fix the place for you. I can fix the place, you know, because I do think he wanted to have a workshop, but you know, it's a chapel, you know, it's an oratory. They say, even better, you know, I can fix the place to be a chapel. So they fixed the place, and then Don Bosco went back to the boys and say, we have a home next week. So basically, the boys were really happy. They were playing around even more crazy, you know, and the full grass on the ground is even more destroyed. Anyhow, the next Sunday, Don Bosco, the boys, they gather in that little place that he ran. He paid half of the year of his salary to rent the place, because the half year salary is good for year rent. And so Don Bosco didn't want to like pay monthly. He just want to rent the place for a whole year, so doesn't have to worry about being kicked out. And so he was there, seeing them have a blessing for the church and also the mass. So the chapel was filled with the boys, and even outside in the land, you know, so they had the mass, and then the boy, they brought their food, and after that they enjoyed their breakfast on that Easter Sunday. Now, Don Bosco was a 31 years old priest at that time. In some respect, he may still be a bit inexperienced. Remember that lady who was wealthy who hired him to be the chaplain of her hospital for girls? Mm-hmm. Because Don Bosco health start to have some sign of sickness. He spilled blood, actually. So the woman heard that she was concerned. So she say, I give you 5,000 lira. You have to stop whatever you are doing and have rest. And then, but Don Bosco would not agree to stop working for the boys. So basically that woman, you know, would end his assignment at Don Bosco, you know, because she would not listen to her. And so Don Bosco, without that assignment anymore. Now the woman herself, though, he was, you know, she was 61 years old woman, even though, you know, she didn't agree with Don Bosco, but she still showed the respect, you know, when she sees Don Bosco, she would kiss his hands, and also she secretly financially helped Don Bosco, even though, you know, on the outside, you know, she looked tough and mean to Don Bosco, but secretly she gave money to St. Joseph Cavasso and helped him out in little ways. But Don Bosco was a bit stubborn. He would not reduce his workload, and he overworked himself. On July 5th that year, he collapsed. After an exhausted day of working, because, you know, to run the oratory on a Sunday is a huge task. It's a lot of work. You have to play game with them, you know, all the boys. You have to hear the confession, lots of confession to hear. And so one on July 5th, after exhausted day in the oratory, he fainted. And then in a few days, he was really close to death. He was really close to death. Now, so when he was close to death, the boys, they rushed to see him. They want to see Don Bosco. But of course, there was a strict order of the doctor that nobody could see Don Bosco. So they were really, you know, they were really begging, you know, just let me take a peek at him. You know, and that one, I won't make him talk. You know, the other one, it's only one word I want to tell him. And the other one, I can't hear, I can't bear the thought that he would soon die without hearing it. If Don Bosco knew that I were here, he would let me in. And then they would say, please let me in, or at least tell him I'm here. So, you know, and then so the nurse say, you know, seeing you would be too much a strain for him. And so the poor boy were in tears, you know, and all the bystanders were really, really, really touched, you know, they said, poor boys, how much they love him. So Don Bosco could hear them talking to the nurse, so he was pretty much affected. So some of the boys, they actually refused to go, and they stood silently by his door. So in the hope they might able to at least hear his voice.
And so Don Bosco aware of their presence. And so he would ask, who is there? So nurse told the name, you know, this one, and that one, three people. Don Bosco said, tell them to come in. So the nurse protest, but seeing there's only a few boys, so they let him in. So they were really happy, you know. And so and they make one of them make the confession really quickly to Don Bosco, you know. And so they just, you know, that's so it was really difficult to ask them to leave. So they realized this hope, really little hope about human medicine. So they want to storm heaven. So they divided into groups. They would keep watch at the shrine of Our Lady of Consolation. They pray morning until late night, asking Our Lady to help Don Bosco. They would light candles before the miraculous image. They would go to Mass. They would go to communion. So at night, they would not go to bed until they said a special prayer for Don Bosco. And then they asked the family to join them. And then also, several of them would spend whole nights in prayer. And some watched, you know, some of them went even further. They make a vow. They would recite the whole rosary every day. Some say they would do it for a month. Some say for a whole year. And a few, they would say all through their life, they would do it. And then some of them, they would fast on bread and water. And some of them, they would promise to fast for months and even for years. If only Our Lady would make John Bosco well. And then some of the big layers, they really fast, you know, even though they were working, they didn't drink water, they would go to the Blessed Sacrament after at the midday break to visit the church. And so in the second Saturday, in a Saturday in July, Don Bosco was really close to death. And so he would die that night. And so the doctor were thinking he would die that night. And so Don Bosco, he was ready to offer up his life to God at that point already. So other people were crying, you know, but he was really peaceful. He had to console them, but at that time, his good friend, Father Brown, his conviction was that everybody else prayed. But how about John Bosco himself? Did he pray for healing? He didn't. John Bosco, he himself hadn't prayed for healing. So he told John Bosco, you know, say a prayer for your recovery. John Bosco remained silent. So a few minutes later, the priest said to John Bosco, you know what Holy Scripture tells us? When you are ill, deny Lord not, but pray to God and he will heal you. John Bosco replied, let God's holy will be done. And then the priest said to John Bosco, but then at least say, Lord, if it pleases you, let me be cured. But even that John Bosco would not do. He's a stubborn man, right, John Bosco? He's always stubborn. But and then he told John Bosco, please do it, dear Don Bosco. I'm asking you in the name of all our boys. Just repeat those words and really mean it. So to please the priest, Don Bosco repeated in a week and barely, you know, you can hear his voice. You know, he said, yes, Lord, if it pleases you, let me be cured. And so the priest heard Don Bosco petition. He dried his tears and then he smiled. That would do. Now I'm sure you will get well. So he seemed to sense that Don Bosco, you know, what is lacking is Don Bosco his own prayer to ask for healing. So, and he was not mistaken. Afterward, remember what I mentioned before, when he was in seminary, he was really sick, right? After he ate all the food from the mummy, what did he do? He slept for 2 days and then he got well. This time similar. Shortly after the prayer, he fell asleep. And then when he woke up, he was out of danger. He was like reborn to life. So that morning, two doctors, they came to see Don Bosco, thinking he would be dead already. But when they felt his pulse, you know, he told him, Don Bosco, you have good reason to go to, you know, the Shrine of Our Lady of Consolation and thank the Madonna. So the boys were really happy to hear Don Bosco really recover and improving. So the day before they were so full of tears of sorrow, but now it's tears of joy. Praise be to God. Praise be to the Madonna. They shout. Praise be to God. Praise to Our Lady of Consolation. She truly consoles us. So, when after a while, Don Bosco finally able to lean on the king and walk to the oratory. It was a Sunday afternoon. So when the boys heard that he planned to pay them a visit, they went to greet him. And several of the strong fellows, they carried him in an armchair. And then while they were really careful to carry him, and then they have tears in their eyes, Don Bosco too. And then it was a really beautiful reception. So Father Borrow delivered a sermon, and also talking about, you know, the grace obtained from God through Mary's intercession. And then he encouraged them all to put their trust in her at all times and to express their gratitude by attending the oratory regularly. And Don Bosco also said a few words, and then he said, "I want to thank you for the love you have shown me during my illness. I want to thank you for the prayers you said for my recovery. I'm convinced that God granted me an extension of life in answer to your prayers. Therefore, gratitude demands that I spend it all for your temporal and spiritual welfare. This I promise to do as long as the Lord will permit me to remain in this world. On your part, help me to keep my promise." So they explore the Blessed Sacrament, they sing the Te Deum, the hymn of thanksgiving, and then he also, later on, when he heard about the boys, make some vow that had to fulfill, like pay the 15 decade rosary every single day. He changed the vow, he disbanded them, you know, into something like 5 decades of the rosary or something more easy to manage. Now, Don Bosco, later on, he was also saying, maybe he was better that he died. Actually, he was saying, "If I had died then, I think I would have gone to heaven. I was prepared then, but now, who knows?" So 40 years later, you know, somebody who heard him say that, you know, asked Don Bosco, "Dear Don Bosco, do you still remember what you told me in 1846? And then he said, "I remember quite well. I told you if I had died then, I would have been prepared, didn't I?" And the priest say, "Yes, but don't you see how much you have been able to do with the help of God? Oratory, religious congregations, school, hospice, and foreign missions. Your missionaries are all over the world. This thing won't have been done if you had died then." And then he said, "You are wrong, my friend. This thing would have been done. God alone is responsible for them. They are all the work of his hands." Then he bowed his head with his eyes full of tears and said again, "They are all the work of his hands." So, Don Bosco, after the sickness, he did need to recover. He did have to stop what he was doing. So he went back to his homeland with his mother and brother to recover. And also, when he was absent, then they realized how much he had done, because to replace one John Bosco, you need a few priests to come over to the oratory. So it was a lot of work that he had been doing in the oratory. So next time we talk about his recovery, and also, of course, when he go back to the oratory, then how he continued his work to help the poor boys.